We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're still talking about Penn State's 2020 recruiting class. It's just an interesting time coming off of a rush of commitments, now up to 16 members in the 2020 class. The time of having a run of decommitments feels like it's in the distant past, but it's not that distant. And Greg, I know I mentioned this before, just comparing this 2020 class to Penn State's 2016 class, and there are some similarities and there are some differences in that. That 2016 class, if you remember, the 2015 season did not go well. Christian Hackenberg declared for the NFL, was not a fit for James Franklin's system, looked like he had regressed, which created even more questions about Franklin and his ability to handle quarterbacks and all that stuff. John Donovan, his offense wasn't working. He was relieved of his duties.
He's still with the Jaguars, isn't he?
I believe so, as some kind of consultant. Or Bob Shoup left for what I would definitely say was a lateral move to go to Tennessee. And they hired Joe Moorhead, who you didn't know a whole lot about. All this was unfolding in the winter of 2015 going into 2016. And the feel at the end of the 2016 cycle was that you ended up having a bunch of kids decommit pretty late in the process too, late January and into February. Seven decommitments in all in that class. Similar questions about where Penn State was going at that point in time to the questions that you have about him now. Is Ricky Ronnie the guy to lead the offense? Is Sean Clifford going to take the torch from Trace McSorley? Is this offense going to be any good without Saquon Barkley and Miles Sanders? There's all these different – are the receivers going to take a big step forward under Jared Parker? There's just a lot of on the outside, the perception at least of volatility in the program, and that has led to – what I would say, you know, and anytime you miss on a local five-star kid like Julian Fleming, it only exaggerates those concerns.
Right.
But what I would say, number one, in the 2020 class, we're so early in the cycle that you have the opportunity to slam the door on those concerns early in the 2019 season, and you have a really good possibility to finish strong. So the class right now sits at 11 3-stars and 5 4-stars, 16 in all. There's a chance here for Penn State to silence all those doubts in 2019, and I think they've got a really good shot to do it with a bunch of 4-stars on the board, close hard, finish well within the top 15 classes in the country, and all is forgotten. Looking back at 2016, you had all these concerns coming out of 2015, and one of the most significant seasons in Penn State history unfolded in 2016. I think it's just the life cycle of any coach. You ride that roller coaster, and even when you're secure in your job, there are just doubts are just prevalent everywhere.
Right.
And I think they creep into the recruiting scene. I think that's where we're at right now.
I think that the hardest thing for coaches to do is turn off anything, turn a switch off at any point and just relax a little bit and take a deep breath and take a step back. And, you know, the biggest reason for that is you have to constantly be evaluating kids and watching their social media to see if they're doing the kind of things you want them to do on social media and staying in touch with them. Because the day you don't, the day somebody else does, the day that you know, commitment could end up happening to someone else because, you know, you took a day off. And it's not fair. It's not right. I'm sure their families and their kids, it drives them nuts that these guys are always on their phone, but that's what you have to do to get, you know, to get guys. And, you know, beyond that, you have to always be evaluating whatever you can, whether it's tape from a tweet at the opening, or, you know, a kid's out playing 7-on-7 somewhere. What can we glean from that, you know, video that his coach sent us? What can we learn about that guy from what we saw on the field? And so, again, those kind of things lead to some of the offers that maybe you don't expect or you think that might be below Penn State, but they clearly like what they see with some guys. And again, I think they've earned the right to be able to make some decisions that, you know, might look, I don't want to say questionable, but might look, again, beneath what they've recruited in the past, because they think these guys are at that level. So, I mean, I don't think you want your whole class to be made up of those guys, but if you take a couple, to see what you can find out. I think that, you know, that's something Penn State is going to continue to do.
I think a lot of this is set up because the success that they had in 2016 and 2017, and then the success they had recruiting in 2018 and 2019, mm-hmm. 2020 was really supposed to be the year where all those pieces came together. Right. You had maybe your best season. You maybe had your best recruiting class. And there are just questions about whether that's the way that it's going to unfold. And I hate to let message board posts and comments on articles dictate what we discuss here, but I do think that there's a significant vibe out there, at least among the vocal minority, maybe the most vocal of the minority, that every time Penn State gets a new commit, like this past weekend, it's like, oh great, another three star. Oh, great, another three-star. Why are we getting all these three-stars? James Franklin can't recruit. What? We didn't get Julian Fleming. Like, there's just this sort of – you can look at the national rankings and see they're in the top 10. I think part of that is a numbers game. I think when it comes to overall quality of the class, Penn State's more like a top 15 or 17 type class. But – there's still just this overblown concern. And what I wanted to do was just revisit this. And I know we've done it before, just how Penn State has recruited and developed three-star players since James Franklin got there in 2014.
Didn't some guy named Trace McSorley come as a three-star? Am I remembering that right? Okay, just checking.
Would you like to hear the list that I put together?
I actually was just going to step away for a minute, so go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Take a smoke break or whatever, a dip break, whatever you want to do. So starting back in 2014, Jason Kabinda, Christian Campbell, Amani Oruwariye, Grant Haley, Trace McSorley, Troy Apke, Marcus Allen, depending on where you look. I'm using the 24/7 composite. Some of these guys might have been four stars elsewhere. Robert Windsor, Nick Bowers, Kevin Givens, Sharif Miller, Will Fries, Shaka Toney, Antonio Shelton, Journey Brown, Cam Sullivan Brown, Mike Miranda. That's the list that I've got. There are some others. There are some guys that you don't connect on, and there are some guys, three stars who don't develop quickly, who end up transferring and that kind of stuff. And that's just part of the game. That's part of the gamble here. This is not much different than the NFL draft and you using a fifth round pick on a guy.
Yeah.
You're going to use your criteria, the things that matter to you, and you're going to take them, and you're going to hope to develop. But I think, I mean, a couple things really emerge for me here. Number one, that this is a good track record of not only developing three stars into worthwhile players, but, you know, Trace McSorley to be the best quarterback you've had, arguably. Troy Apke was a NFL combine sensation. He's in the NFL right now. Kevin Givens was a linebacker who you made a defensive tackle.
I always think about the first time I met Kevin Givens, and he was this thin, fast, explosive running back, linebacker, do everything for Altoona. And
what year was he? Because he was bigger by the time he was a senior, right?
This was underclassman. Probably 2012, I would think, 2012 or 2013. And I mean, he just, what he's turned into is just incredible based on what he was at that point in his high school career.
But doesn't Penn State deserve a lot of credit? Not that you take credit away from the kid, but you are really trying to look at these kids and figure out how you can manipulate them to get them where you need them to be. You look at a kid like Kevin Givens, I don't think a lot of programs out there were saying, you know, we think he can be a defensive tackle.
Right.
A lot of them were wondering, okay, he's short for a defensive end. He's too big for a linebacker. What is he? I think a lot of programs and a lot of recruiting services were saying he's neither of those things. And I think they were all right because he was a defensive tackle. Sharif Miller was another big success story that wasn't a slam dunk by any means. Robert Windsor, Wisconsin needed pretty much the entire recruiting cycle to want the kid enough to offer him a scholarship. Penn State went in there, and he at Penn State looks exactly the way he looked on film. He just is a wrecking ball out there. Grant Haley, not many people want him because he's tiny. Now he's making some waves in the NFL too. Amani Oruwariye, draft pick. Christian Campbell, a draft pick. Campbell was one of the lowest rated guys in the 2014 class. So was Jason Kabinda. So I guess the moral of the story, there's a couple positions that seem prominent here, the defensive line and cornerback, that Penn State has done particularly well, taking these guys that that are three stars who don't really mesh with the national prototype of those positions, and they've done just fine with them. Right. So the hope is, you know, they can do more of the same, especially as these three stars in the 2020 class skew towards the defensive line.
Right. Yeah. And I think that, you know, the one thing about defensive line recruiting and offensive line recruiting really falls into this boat too, is that you are, everyone sees things differently, right? So if you watch, a receiver and you see him go really fast down the field and then make a cut on a dime and catch a ball for a touchdown, yeah, you don't have to be Ross Tucker or a football expert to say, yeah, that guy's a five star. But when you look at these defensive tackles and offensive, it takes some projection. It really does. It takes, I don't want to say more of a scientific approach, but you have to, you know, get what you are looking for. And everyone's looking for something a little bit different in the trenches. So if you take, you know, guys that are three stars, it may not mean that that guy is a three star. It might just mean that the coaching staff at Penn State or the coaching staff here, there, wherever, you know, whatever school you want to point to, they identify this guy as different than the people doing the rankings. That's okay, because, again, I think if you're going to take projects, those are the positions that do it. You don't want to take a project at quarterback. You don't want to take a project at corner, because, again, you can see those guys. And, you know, you might take one here or there, but you don't want to take a lot of them. I think with the offensive defensive line, you can get into that conversation more, just simply because everyone looks for something different at those positions.
Here's the reality. Everybody does look for something different, but the reality is, especially in the offensive, especially in the let's just focus on the defensive line. Everybody is a project. Almost everybody is a project. It is so, you can count on one hand the number of guys who check off all the physical boxes and have a bevy of pass rush moves, use their hands well, leverage well, can, you know how to shed blocks, have all the polished technique. A huge majority of these defensive linemen are pretty much starting from scratch when it comes to the technique that's actually going to get the job done at the college level.
Right.
So in that respect, get guys who check the physical boxes, who might have a clue that can be taught and coached. And really, you're going to invest 2 to 3 years in almost any defensive lineman anyway. You might as well get the guys who are big, strong, and fast. And work with them that way. And oh, by the way, Dwight Gault has a long track record dating back before Penn State of molding guys into what they want them to be. So I think getting three-star defensive linemen, I'm pretty okay with that, because Sean Spencer is the guy I trust the most to develop them into 4- and 5-star type productive players. So yeah, that's it for the 2020 recruiting class. There's a long way to go here. We've talked about it a lot. We appreciate you tuning in and joining us for the ride. We'll keep doing it at KeystonesportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.